update. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health, and also today by Secretary Johnny Key, of Secretary of Education. And as I indicated, we will be talking about education a little bit later in our presentation today. I first want to acknowledge Vulcan Sports out of Hot Springs, which the parent company is Tanner Sports, and they were good enough to send us these black masks. We're grateful for, and it says 100 daily COVID updates, and the only purpose of that notation is that it has been 100 days of our time spent reporting to Arkansas on the pandemic and asking for their support as we go through this incredible time in our history. And it is important to note some of these from time to time. And I think today is an important day when we realize how long this pandemic has been, to recognize the incredible work of our healthcare workers, our nurses, our doctors that are fighting every day to save lives in our medical clinics, in our hospitals. And we're just very proud of them. And you think about how long this has been going on. And so it's just a noteworthy day that we wanted to recognize and thank Vulcan Sports for sending us these set of masks. With that, let's go to the cases today. And I'll tell you in advance that the case number is high. But at the same time it is high, it is also predictable. I told Dr. Smith that I expected as we increased testing that you're going to see the numbers go up today. And that's exactly what happened. And until we get a handle on it, as we increase testing, it's not a surprise with these high numbers, but it is a reminder of the work we have to do. Yesterday, we had 25,246 cases. Today, we have an additional 806 new COVID cases, bringing us to 26,052 cases. We also have an additional number in hospitalizations. As you know, yesterday we declined in hospitalizations. Today we go up a significant number, 36 newly hospitalized. That brings it to 394. We have four additional deaths. That brings us to 309. If you look at the breakdown of the counties, here again, it indicates that we're testing broadly in Arkansas because they're scattered through multiple counties in the state. We had Pulaski County with the highest number of 104, followed by Washington County with 78 new cases, followed by Sebastian County with 56, Benton County with 49, and Faulkner County with 51, and then there were Johnson, Mississippi, that had cases as well in 10 counties that were 10 to 20. And so you can see again that they're being scattered throughout Arkansas as we continue to increase our testing. If we go to the slides, we'll see the first one indicates where we are in our testing. Today is not the highest day of new cases, but it is the second highest day of new cases. And it certainly shows that our spread has continued in a number area of our state. And then the next one is the rolling average, 7-day rolling average. It has been flat, declined a little bit, but I'll expect that it goes up a little bit with this spike of 800 cases in the coming days. And then the number of active cases, we declined. We're not at the high point, but you can see we edged up a little bit today. And then the currently hospitalized, which we watch very carefully, we have a couple dips there. Beyond that, it's been an upward trend. We're close to 400 hospitalized, actually 394, that's right. And then the positivity rate, we just go to the 7-day rolling average on positivity, and we are overall positivity is 7.2%. That's higher than I like it to be, even though it is below the 10% of the CDC guidelines. But we want to get that positivity rate down. The only way you do that is to control the spread, wear your protective mask so that you don't contribute to it. And then we'll go to the number of COVID tests. And this is important to note that you can see the white is the Department of Health. And you can see that they have continually increased their numbers by and large. And so they've had a consistent level. You have UAMS that adds to it, that's been consistent in the contribution they have for the testing that's been done. The red, of course, is the commercial labs. And the commercial labs carries the bulk of the load. Six commercial labs across the country. We take the samples here. We send in the commercial labs. We wait to come back. Now, you can see what's happened in the commercial labs where they were. We were getting over 8,000 from commercial labs in some days. And now we're down to, that was total number, but you can see the amount from the commercial labs. But here it is much decreased in terms of what we're receiving from the commercial labs. The reason for that is the backlog from all across the country that has slowed the turnaround time and their getting the results to us, and that is the reason we're not having some of the robust results that we would expect otherwise, and that would probably, if we had all those, would have helped us in our positivity rate, and hopefully that will be a result as we move forward. And then, let's see what the next one is. Let's hold right there for a second, and I want to move to education, and I wanted to as I have said before, indicate that we are going to be having school next year. And if you look to the next slide, you'll see the importance of this. We're going to be ready for learning. That's going to be flexible, practical, adaptable, inclusive, accessible. And I love the quote from the American Academy of Pediatrics that says, all policy considerations for the coming school year should start with a goal of having students physically present in school. And so when we start school, we want them to be physically present, but then the district must also be prepared to shift to other instructional delivery methods should the need arise. And of course, that means when there's a positive case or whenever you have to take more restrictive measures and you need to go to some level of online instruction or provide that for an option. That's where the blended learning environment comes in and the flexibility for our local school districts. And I do have, if you go to the next slide, I will get to that in just a moment, but I wanted to make an announcement, and that is that after consultation with Secretary Key and his team, and after hearing from numerous educators and parents across the state of Arkansas, the 2020-21 school year start date will be moved forward from August 13 to start the week of August 24. Start the week of August 24, but no later than August 26. And the reason for this moving forward 10 to 14 days is to give the school districts more time in order to make the adjustments necessary, to make sure their campus is ready, to make sure the teachers are prepared for the blended learning environment that we're going to be able to go through this year. And so we're fully committed to school. We're committed to on-site instruction. But this announcement will be well received by some, others not so well received, but believe it's the right decision so that we will be prepared for this school year. And then the second part of what we want to cover, go to the next slide, is the reality as to what happens when there is a positive case in a school environment. Now, I want to applaud Secretary Key, Dr. Pfeffer, and their team in education working with the Department of Health to come up with these protocols and guidelines for local school districts. These will be released to local school districts so that we can get their comments and feedback. But I think that they will see this as a tool that will be helpful to guide them through the school year. And we start with the proposition that there will be a positive case in a school district, and then what action should you take if that happens? And the first you have to determine with the Department of Health is what kind of response is required, and that will depend upon the level of spread of the virus in the community. And so if you look at the limited response, it says that under a limited response, there's no closure that's needed. There will be contact tracing, and there will be a 14-day quarantine that will be indicated, and they'll be conferring with the Department of Health to figure out exactly the right approach under this limited response. And you see where it says minimal spread, that is based upon there being minimal spread in the community. And, of course, that will be guidance that the Department of Health will give. If there's minimal spread, then the kind of results in the limited response will be reinforce the hand hygiene, enforce physical distancing, intensify cleaning and disinfecting, postpone non-critical gatherings and events. It might be some kind of a school assembly. And then if it's determined that it's a more severe spread in the community, a moderate spread, then we're going to have to upgrade the response to a moderate response. And that might include requiring the building to be deep cleaned. They will consult with the Department of Health. They might initiate blended learning environment, stagger the schedules more, encourage alternative transportation, all depending upon what they see in as a result of a case and what they learn from that as to what the response will be. But it's also impacted by what they see in the community as to the level of spread in that community. And then if you have a critical response that's needed, which means there's more substantial spread in the community, and the consultation with the Department of Health says we need a stronger, more critical response, then there could be an extended period of cleansing and dismissal of certain functions, and that will be determined in conjunction with the Department of Health and Department of Education. It might restrict on-site access. It might go solely to remote learning. It could postpone or cancel certain school events. And so we want to get feedback from the school districts on this, but I think this is a good guideline that has been set up that will help shape how we respond in the school districts when there is a positive case in the coming school year that we're committed to have. With that, Dr. Smith is going to come, and he's got some important information to cover and additional slide. And then I'll ask Secretary Key to come to elaborate a little bit more on this announcement today. Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. We have had quite a few cases, as the Governor's mentioned. Of the 106 new cases, 110 of them are in correctional facilities, 696 are in the community. As the Governor's mentioned, we have now 26,052 total cases. Of those, 5,751 are active cases, and of those active cases, 131 are in nursing homes, 444 are in correctional facilities, 5,176 are active cases in the community. As the governor showed with the slide, we have had a significant bump up in the number of hospitalized. Currently, we have hospitalized 394. That's an increase of 36 from yesterday. We currently have 82 on a ventilator. That's an increase of 3 from yesterday. We've had 4 additional deaths for a total of 309. We have had 596 recover since yesterday, so that brings our total recovered to 19,992. So almost 20,000 have recovered from COVID-19 in our state. The governor mentioned the top counties, and he's also pointed out that we have really increase in cases in many counties now. So we really need to take efforts throughout the state. I know we have focused our efforts quite a bit on the northwest part of the state, and then also I've drawn our attention to the central region of the state. But we need to be careful in all parts of the state. The governor mentioned that we have increased our testing. We did 4,734 tests yesterday. The public health lab did over 1,000, 1,156, and UAMS did 495. We have not yet gotten back up where we would like to be with the commercial labs, and commercial labs include the commercial labs that you send off to, but also we separate out UAMS because they've done pretty high volume for the longest time, but the other hospitals that do testing in their labs, we include those with the commercial labs. That's obviously a very different set up there, but they are also having challenges with regard to reagents for their platforms. The last thing I wanted to go over is this this slide. We have talked earlier this week about regions, looking at our cases by regions, and then yesterday by counties. This actually breaks down our top 10 cities. We've talked a lot about how people want to see, you know, what's going on in my city. These are not all the cities, but these are the top 10 in terms of the number of active cases, not cumulative cases, but active cases in the community. And currently, at the top of the list is Springdale, with 641 active cases in the community. Little Rock is next with 414, Rogers at 256. Goes down from there, Fort Smith, Conway, Fayetteville, Texarkana, Russellville, Danville, and Bentonville. And that's that dark orange line shows you the total number of active cases in the community. We also have this pale pink line that shows the active cases in the community per 10,000 population. And that also gives us an additional piece of information. So even though Springdale is at the top of the list in terms of the number of total active cases in the community, it's really Danville down at number 9 that has the most number of cases per population. And what that tells us is those are the chances that if you're out and about in your community, what are the chances you're going to encounter someone who has an active case? And you can see Danville is the highest there, then Springdale. Then we have a number down sort of neck and neck on those. Little Rock, although it's the second highest in terms of total active cases in the community, it's a little towards the bottom in terms of active cases in the community per 10,000 population. But these are other ways of looking at this information, and hopefully, especially those living in those cities, take some extra precautions if you're not already doing so. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor or to Secretary Key. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And if we could go back to the Ready for Learning or the first slide in our part of the presentation. We'll start with where the governor, I think, is probably the most significant news of the day, and that's regarding the school start date. It is imperative that we get Arkansas students back in school this fall. The governor has said that from the beginning and has not backed away from that, and we agree with that. In order for that to be successful, however, it is equally imperative that the adults in the schools are fully prepared to meet the needs of students. As a little background on the school start date, Arkansas statute provides that the uniform dates for the beginning of the school year shall be on or after the Monday of the week in which August 19th falls, not earlier than August 14th and not later than August 26th. In 2018, most school districts requested and received a 5-year waiver from the State Board of Education that allowed school to start as early as August 13th. Districts generally have adopted that start date for the subsequent school years, including the upcoming 2020-21 school year. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are modifying the start date for the 2021 school year, and under this action, school districts will begin the school year the week of August 24th, but no later than August 26th. We will also ask the State Board of Education to rescind the broad waiver that was granted that allows districts to start on August 13th. This decision is based on several factors. We are confident from our conversations that many districts will be ready to go on August 13th. However, recent feedback from educators, from administrators, from parents, and from legislators has indicated urgent but reasonable concerns about the readiness of some districts to return to instruction on that date. It is vital that when school starts, all districts are ready to meet the needs of all students. This modification of the start date is responsive to those concerns and will allow districts more time for collaborative conversations, planning, and preparation for their respective Ready for Learning committees, part of our Ready for Learning initiative that we announced a few weeks ago. The resources being provided to school districts through the Ready for Learning initiative will require substantial professional development to ensure all educators have the preparation they need to start the school year and to implement a blended learning system. ADE will work with our Ready for Learning partner organizations to use this extra time to schedule and deliver the necessary training sessions. Due to supply chain issues, it is possible that some districts will also need extra time to secure sufficient PPE. Some districts have reported delays in delivery of technology that students will need for implementation of blended learning. This modified date will reduce or eliminate the time students will be without this needed technology. This directive provides flexibility for districts to start within a modified window. It provides nearly two additional weeks of time for educators, districts, and communities to prepare, and it stays within the statutory framework established by the Arkansas General Assembly. Now, if you could move to the next slide, please. As the school districts prepare for the next school year in the face of this pandemic, there are critical policy issues that must be addressed at the state and local level. One, school policies must be flexible and nimble in responding to new information, and administrators must be willing to refine approaches when specific policies are not working. It is critically important to develop strategies that can be revised and adapted depending on the level of viral transmission in the school and throughout the community, and it must be done in collaboration with public health authorities. These strategies must also reflect the differences between school districts, including urban, suburban, and rural districts. The policy should be practical, feasible, and appropriate for child and adolescent developmental stages. Our next slide, please. With that, today we are releasing the latest resource in the Arkansas Ready for Learning initiative to support school districts' preparation for the school year. The response levels for on-site learning will guide districts in determining and mitigating health risks associated with the COVID-19 occurrences connected to on-site instruction and school activities. If you move to the next slide. In collaboration with the Arkansas Department of Health, we have established a clear communication process and a three-tiered system of response conditions based on data-informed factors, including student and staff active cases, evidence and severity of spread within the school and within the school and within the surrounding community, and student and staff absentee levels. Next slide, please. Okay. That was the only one. All right. Thought there was one more. Sorry. Each district will identify, relative to communication, each district will identify a point of contact who will be responsible for initial communications and response coordination with the Arkansas Department of Health. When students or staff members test positive for COVID-19, the school district will work with the health department and the Arkansas Department of Education to determine the appropriate response level based on an analysis of the factors. Each response level contains a matrix of operational decision points with the associated precautions and actions increasing at each level. The three broad categories of decision points are initial actions after notification, considerations for closure, recommendations for continued on-site school operations. It's very important to be clear here. The document is for assisting districts with responding to situations that may be encountered when on-site learning resumes. It is not intended to identify a district status prior to the beginning of the 2021 school year. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll take any questions. Well, there'll be testing as needed, obviously when students are symptomatic or travel or there's a reason to do it. There's not any plan to do widespread testing all through the school, but to do it on an as-needed basis.
Like with this latest guidance document and other issues like requiring students to wear masks or employees to wear masks, are those decisions just up to the individual school districts, and are they going to have any type of plan approved by the Department of Education or the Health Department in terms of what they're, how they're going to handle those issues?
Well, the Department of Health has guidelines for students in reference to masks, but there's a lot of flexibility with the local school district as to, and it, part of it depends upon, do they have spacing in the classroom where masks are not necessary? You know, if they're doing bus transportation, what's the spacing that's between the students there and what's necessary? So you have to provide some flexibility to the school districts on that. I do want to, Johnny, do you want to elaborate on either one of those points, and Dr. Smith?
We are not requiring districts to submit those plans. In the guidance that we have provided in conjunction with the health department, local districts can make the determination of whether to require masks. It is strongly recommended for mask wearing, but at the same time, as I referred to those differences between school districts and schools within those districts, it is those local districts and boards can make those determinations based on the unique needs and situations in those districts.
Dr. Smith, do you have anything to add on either one of those questions?
I just would add that really our approach needs to be and is outcomes based. How they achieve it, the goals can vary based on their setting. But you know, we have three major goals here. First, obviously, we don't want children to go to school and get infected. We want our children to have a safe environment. And we know that masks can help in those situations, but physical distancing can accomplish the same thing. The second is we want to protect the teachers. We don't want them to get sick. Then if there's no teacher, then you can't have a classroom. So we want to make sure that the teachers are safe as well. And then, of course, third, we don't want if children get sick at school, to come and bring it back to their homes and their communities. Now, up to this point in our COVID-19 epidemic here in the United States, it's really been primarily adults that have been the ones who have spread COVID-19. Children have not been a major part of that, and there may be biological reasons for that, but we don't want to give COVID-19 a chance. So we want to protect families and communities as well. And again, there are different ways of accomplishing that. Masks certainly are helpful. Also physical distancing and avoiding these large gatherings where one infected individual could potentially transmit to multiple others. You know, these are all the things that we've learned are effective in limiting the spread of COVID-19.
Alex?
Is there a plan for if teachers get sick and there's a teacher shortage?
Secretary Key?
If you're asking if there is a statewide plan, there is not. Teacher illness, staff illness is something that is dealt with under local policies and is something that districts deal with on a regular basis. We are confident that if districts' local plans provide the type of safety precautions, then we will probably see positive cases in the school. But the hope is that they are mitigated through those health and safety precautions. And then districts will address those situations with their substitute teachers in the community. And, it's very hard to organize a substitute teacher response from Little Rock. Those are best dealt with by the local administration.
So it sounds like it's up to each school district how they want to set up the guidelines for in the classroom. Is that correct?
Well, they has to be done in consultation with the Department of Health. You know, we set the initial guidelines and parameters, and the school develops their own plan consistent with that. And then what we presented today is the what-if circumstances, and what actions do they take if there is a positive case, and what's the circumstances. That, of course, requires coordination with the Department of Health and with the Department of Education.
No, that's Governor, exactly right on that. It's a matter of following those guidelines that the Health Department has already issued that are correct for the phase that we are in. And then the response, as I indicated in the response levels, they increase. The actions increase as the severity of that local spread or in-school or in-district spread changes. So we anticipate that some districts will have to respond and take extra precautions, but that won't be necessary until there is that coordination with the Health Department.
Follow up.
So I would just follow up by saying, because we've had a lot of people saying, like, their guidelines for sports were pretty strict with it being outside, and, you know, the sports were being, like, down to each last detail. But there's been a number of schools and programs around the state that have closed because of COVID-19. So people have been saying, well, what about with schools when it's going to be a lot more kids inside, I think is a concern for people opening up pretty soon, actually. So what would your response be to that?
Well, I want to make sure I understand it, but if I think the point is that, you know, well, first you talked about the sports side and the specificity that we've given in terms of those guidelines. As we enter the school year, it's my hope that we'll be able to provide more clarity and that there will be some changes in the current restrictions so that the athletes can engage in sports in the fall, but right now it is more limited in the contact sports. Clearly, when you're talking about sports, I mean, they're doing summer baseball, some of the non-contact sports, tennis, golf, all of that, you know, can proceed with the limitations the Department of Health has given. In terms of the school environment, that's going to be different, and they've got to follow this model. Let's fine-tune it. Let's make sure that it works. But this provides a balance between the expertise in the Department of Health, the broad guidelines of the Department of Education and plan, with some flexibility to fit the local schools. And the response is flexible as well. They've got to make decisions on the ground in consultation with the Department of Health. Let's go remotely and see if there's a question.
Yeah, okay. Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a couple questions for you. First of all, on Little Rock School District, since they're under state control, wanted to see if you or Secretary Key could, I guess, explain the reasoning for not having a mask requirement for students there. You know, especially given the size of the district and constraints on social distancing there. And also was just curious, the change in the date, does this change the date that teachers need to report for the school year?
Johnny, I'm going to let you take those.
So as far as the Little Rock School District, Mr. Poor and his team are working to modify and to clarify a number of areas in that in Little Rock School District's plan to return. And I don't know that it's been a final determination about masks, but Mr. Poor is working on that and is keeping me apprised. But Andrew, could you repeat the second part of your question? I didn't catch all that.
I appreciate that. The change in the start of the school year, does that change? What effect does that have on when teachers need to report?
The impact that has is really, in many ways, centered around the contract days that they have. We are not changing the contract days. We are not changing the student contact days. In Arkansas, we have 178 student contact days. Most teachers have 190 days on their contract. So the school calendars, in some cases, may have to be adjusted. And we will work with the school districts as they need assistance with that process. We want to make sure that we have a full school year. and the attention to the student contact days and the teacher contract days are very important parts of that.
Another question remotely.
Secretary Key, this is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. Has any consideration been given to closing public schools between Thanksgiving and into the new year, as a lot of the colleges are doing? And secondly, do you have a projected date for the end of the 2021 school year?
I could answer those, but I think Johnny could be more precise.
To the first question, no, there has not been any consideration given to that. That is something that if a district in the situation in a district warrants such a move, then that can be guided by the response levels that we are issuing today. With respect to the end of school, you know, the end of school varies from district to district based on the their calendar. Some districts have different times built in for Thanksgiving, for Christmas vacation. You know, spring break is typically the one thing that is standard across all districts in the state. So the end of the school year is probably still going to be the end of May, first part of June. And that all depends on the types of adjustments, changes that have to be made to the calendar in each district.
When you first closed schools in the spring, the spread in Arkansas was not nearly as significant as it is now. So why push students back into the classroom in the fall when the models are projecting even higher numbers?
Because we have our infrastructure in place. We have more experience with this virus. We have made adjustments. We are better prepared for our online training and the blended learning environment that's necessary. And so all of those reasons, it's just a totally different environment that we have right now versus what we did toward the end of last school year. Mike?
It came up just the other day, and Senator Key was talking to education committees. Are there particular guidelines for districts in terms of disclosing to the public when a teacher or a student has a positive case? And who's going to, state going to announce that? Is the superintendent going to announce that? Well, and how does it announce the community? Is it just, you know, is there, could it, you have a chance that a superintendent in a very small school district is test positive and is allowed to keep that quiet?
No, I understand the question. And there is no set policy or procedure at this point because the balance between privacy laws, HIPAA, and the right to the public to know is always a fine balance. So we have not established a set procedure for making those notifications. When that has happened in the summer, when there have been situations that the local districts have made that known through a variety of communications, but no, we don't anticipate directing that from the state level.
Dr. Smith, do you want to add to that?
To some extent, we'll handle this the way we do other cases and contacts. If someone is a case, we'll notify them they need to go in isolation. So, you know, that will happen. And if there's any contention over that, we would do just like what we would in terms of orders of isolation. If someone is a contact and they're not quarantining, we would handle it in the same way. There's those safeguards that are in place.
All right. Is there a final question remotely?
Yes, yeah. Governor Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Thank you. Recognizing that some districts are small and others are huge, putting together that response chart must be incredibly difficult. When it gets finalized, do you expect that there'll be some kind of a threshold guidance about when you go from one color to the next for districts?
Well, I think we can fine-tune it. We can look at that, but this is the broad guidelines, and there has to be sometimes a matter of judgment, a matter of looking at the data as well in terms of whether it's a moderate response or a severe response. It's exactly where it fits and the level of the community spread. And so I think that that's something that we will work through. But this is fairly specific in its guidance. I think it'll be a great help to the district so they will know what to do, who to call, and how to coordinate a response to when there is a positive case.
Governor Mike McNeil again. A lot of the colleges of the state have plans now to start early. Are you going to now encourage them to start classes later?
No, the higher education has their independent role and decision-making process. So what we're talking about today is K through 12 education in Arkansas and our public school environment. And so this has no impact on them, and I don't expect to have be engaged in any directives or any additional guidance for them. With that,
Governor, one more from online here, if you don't mind. This is Joe Flaherty with the Democrat Gazette. And as you alluded to at the beginning of the briefing, we are now several months into this crisis. And I would like first Dr. Smith and then you to answer the same question, which is, what do you think has been the most significant misstep or mistake or failure of Arkansas's outbreak response thus far?
I don't know that I could pinpoint a specific error that's been made. Obviously, we've learned through it. Some of the challenges that we faced are outside of our control, such as early on in the testing capacity, early on in the procurement of PPE. But I'm sure that history will look back at this and say, well, this could have been done better. We learned something from someone else that we should have applied. And so I think it's too early to start looking back and saying, what was the missteps? What did we do right? What did we do wrong? There's going to be plenty of commissions that look at this after the fact. But we make the best judgment we can every day, looking at the data, looking at the public health guidance, and we'll continue to do that. Dr. Smith, do you have anything to add there?
I would agree with the governor's comments. I think probably a better time to do sort of that detailed analysis is after the event and we actually see how it all plays out. I guess I would say personally, we really made an intentional attempt to engage some of our vulnerable higher risk communities, initially our African American communities, our Latino communities, our Marshallese communities. And although we had made some good progress in terms of getting the word out and engaging those populations, in retrospect, I wish we would have been able to do more so that they would have not had as much transmission of COVID-19 in those communities as they have. I think we've established much stronger relationships with those communities now than we had at the beginning of this. If I were to go back in time, I would try and make those that engagement even more intense than we did.
Thank you very much. We will be in Sevier County, DeQueen tomorrow. And so hopefully we'll see you remotely. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Thank you.